are continuing today in our ongoing sermon series called Seek the Welfare, where our focus and concern is on the needs of others. And you know, as self-centered people living in a self-centered world, it's hard sometimes to take a step back and put others and their needs ahead of ourselves. But that's what God calls us to do. Not just sometimes when we feel like it, but all the time. In today's scripture, we're going to explore what's known as the Great Commission. And through these final words of Jesus Christ, we're able to get a better sense of who we're supposed to help and how we're supposed to help them. As we get ready to open God's holy word, would you pray with me for just a moment? God, thank you for the witness of Scripture and how it leads us closer to you. As we seek your truth this morning, open our hearts and minds to receive what you want to share with us and help us in turn to share it with others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, as I just mentioned a moment ago, our scripture today is the Great Commission, and that comes from Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn there now, or you can just catch it on the screen here in just a moment. But again, Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, by the time we reach the end of Matthew's gospel here, Jesus' resurrection has already taken place, and he's remained with his disciples for 40 days. But now, it's time for Jesus to leave them and ascend into heaven. But before that happens, Jesus leaves his disciples with some parting words. And instead of offering up a really long, drawn-out farewell, Jesus leaves them with a brief statement, that contains words of power, words of challenge, and words of comfort. And through these words, Christ commissions his disciples and us to continue his work until he comes again. Now, thankfully, though, we don't have to do that work alone, because as we've already heard in today's passage, Christ has assured us that he's always going to be with us no matter what. And it's that comfort and that encouragement that has allowed these first disciples, that allowed them to step out on faith and do what Christ had called them to do. And because of their faithfulness to this calling and to this great commission, billions over the last 2,000 years have come to know, love, and trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. When you think about it, it's really amazing that our world has come to know Christ through the efforts of regular people like you and me, who sought to do what Christ had called them to do in order to reach others with his saving grace. And as we see through the words of the Great Commission today, there are three things that we're all supposed to do in order to reach others with that same saving grace today. And those three things are this: make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. Now, admittedly, this all sounds like an overly simplistic Sunday school answer that doesn't begin to address the very real problems we see in our world today. I mean, where in those words and that statement does Christ begin to address things like war, poverty, and disease? While it's easy for us living on this earth in this day and time to only focus on the physical needs of others, it's important for us to take a step back and acknowledge that people's needs aren't just physical. We all have mental, emotional, and spiritual needs as well. So yes, Christ calls us to meet the physical needs we see in our world, like feeding the hungry and housing the homeless. Yes, Christ equips us to deal with and address a lot of the big problems we see in our world today, like war and discrimination. But let's not forget that Christ also calls us to seek the spiritual welfare of our communities. I think we all probably know from experience that the greatest hurts are often the ones hidden deep in our souls. We know that our sins prevent us from living a full and abundant life, and we know how difficult it is to find hope for today and strength for tomorrow when all that we're leaning on is our own understanding. In giving us this great commission, Christ gave us a spiritual mission to fulfill, a spiritual mission to raise our world from death to life by sharing and living out the gospel message. A message that invites our weary world to lay down its burdens and to receive the comfort and hope that's found in Christ alone. To do that, though, we've got to understand our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, and we've got to commit ourselves to doing what it says. So with that, let's take just a couple of minutes this morning to seek the welfare of others by better understanding how we're supposed to make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. So first, let's start with Jesus' command to make disciples. Now, if we look back to our scripture, verse 19 begins with this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, just as Jesus called the fishermen by the Sea of Galilee, and he trained them to imitate his life and understand his message, we're supposed to do the same thing today. Because as Christians, we're responsible for calling men, women, and children to follow Jesus. We're responsible for sharing the gospel message and helping others to not only believe it, but live it out as well. Because after all, faith is more than just what you believe. It's how those beliefs transform your actions, your outlook, and your perspective on life. Fulfilling this part of the Great Commission is what's known as evangelism. And it's a ministry that we're all called to as Christians. And I understand that while that term might make some of us cringe, evangelism is simply the sharing of God's good news and what difference it's made and continues to make in our lives. Contrary to popular belief, there's no formula you have to follow for evangelism. And there's no fear tactics you have to employ. You've just got to be honest, understanding, and loving in your approach. That's all. So instead of viewing evangelism as some overcomplicated exercise that only people with an REV period in front of their names are capable of doing, I want you to think of evangelism like this. Just tell somebody how much you love Jesus. Because after all, what we have and what we're inviting others to experience for themselves is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So as you seek the spiritual welfare of others, just start by telling them what your relationship looks like. Tell them who Jesus is to you and what he means to you. It's that simple. And as we think about how we're supposed to reach out to others and seek their spiritual welfare, it's also important for us to take a step back and think about who we're sharing that love and that grace and that mercy with. Because in verse 19, we also hear this. We hear that we're commanded to make disciples of who? Of all nations. Now, when we hear that phrase, all nations, we probably start thinking about foreign countries and places halfway around the world. And while it's great to keep a global perspective about things and do what we can to spread God's love all over the world, our primary focus needs to be right here where we live. Because after all, this is the community where we've decided to put down our roots. This is where we've decided to build relationships. This is where we've committed ourselves to seeking the welfare of others. Yes, while we can and should make disciples of all nations and spread God's love far and wide, we're missing the mark if we're disregarding what we can do right here where we live. After all, in case you haven't been paying attention, by this day and time where we live now, there are a lot of nations that have already found their way to us. I'm talking about people whose skin color, language, and custom seem so, so different than our own. People who have any number of faiths or no faith at all. Now, more than ever, we're living in a diverse global society right here in Raleigh. Friends, God has sent the nations to us, and we can't ignore them any longer. Through the Great Commission, Christ reminds us that no group of people is beyond the reach of God's love. And because of that, we're called to reach out and share God's love with the people he's placed right here in our very own community. The second thing we're going to look at is this. We've got to focus on Jesus' command to baptize believers. Now, if making disciples is all about reaching out, then you could say that baptizing believers is all about welcoming in. Because Jesus' command to baptize is all about welcoming new believers into the family of God. Which then begs the question, well, what is baptism anyway? What is it? What does it mean? Why is it so important that Jesus mentions it here in these last words he speaks to his disciples and to us? Well, even though it might look like it, despite its appearance, baptism is more than just taking a bath at church in front of strangers and people you may or may not know. Baptism is a symbolic act that signifies a very, very real transition in life. Because in baptism, we celebrate the death of our sin and the new birth that comes through a life with Christ. You know, it's really wonderful and amazing and humbling to be part of somebody's faith journey and to see their willingness and their desire to be baptized according to the scriptures. But our job's not done once they come up out of the water. In many ways, that's when our work actually begins. Because baptism is more than just a transition from death to life. It's a transition from a life of sinful pursuits to a life of purposeful discipleship. And new believers, y'all, they need our help to make sense of that transition and to help show them what a life with Christ is really all about. If you're married, think about the time and effort it took to figure out the family you married into, right? Think about the love, the grace, and the gentle instruction that helped you make sense of this new family and how your love for them has continued to grow over the years. That's how we're supposed to welcome in and disciple and baptize new believers. Because as Christ reminds us through the Great Commission, our focus isn't on growing our numbers. It's on growing our family, the family of God. Third and finally, we've got to focus on Jesus' command to teach new believers. In verse 20, Jesus tells us to teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, so far, we've been commanded to share our faith with others and to welcome them into the family of God. But now we're commanded to teach others the essentials of the Christian faith. This is the part where we talk about what a relationship with Christ is all about and what Jesus expects from all those who follow him. This is where we get down into Micah 6, verse 8, and we talk about what it means to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. This is where we get down deep with the greatest commandment, as Jesus tells us, and we put the needs and we put God and others ahead of ourselves. This is where we extrapolate on why Jesus is the only way to heaven. While our faith has many, many different dimensions to it, we've got to remember that the gift of faith is also a gift of knowledge. And by teaching others what we believe and why we believe it, we're helping them develop a deeply rooted faith that'll see them through all the ups and downs of life. So as we reflect on what the Great Commission is and what it calls us to do, we've got to be honest today about why it's so hard for us to seek the spiritual welfare of others. Because truth be told, we probably don't talk much about spiritual matters with our friends, coworkers, and neighbors, do we? I mean, sure, they might know that we're Christian. They might know where we go to church. And they, at times, might see us doing other things for other people. But that's about it. If we're being honest, sharing our faith with others doesn't come naturally because we're worried about making things awkward. We're worried about saying the wrong thing. We're worried about offending somebody. And you know what? I get it. I get that our world doesn't make talking about or living out our faith easy or natural. But that's not reason enough not to do it. Because if we're waiting around for the world to tell us it's okay to talk about and live out our faith, then friends, we're going to be waiting a really, really, really long time. Despite our hesitations and our hang-ups, we've got to be willing to initiate these holy conversations and demonstrate through word and deed the difference that Christ has made in our lives. In Colossians chapter 2, we find the Apostle Paul imprisoned in Rome. And obviously, Paul was in a tough spot here, and his ability to minister to others was really, really less than ideal. But in spite of his circumstances, Paul prayed that God would allow him to make the most of every opportunity that he had to share the gospel message with others. As we hear in Colossians 2, verses 4 through 6, Paul writes, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." If we really want to fulfill the Great Commission, we've got to pray about what we're going to do and say before we do or say anything. For you see, Paul understood from experience that without prayer and preparation, we're going to have a hard time doing what God's called us to do. And in this scripture from Colossians 2, Paul also tells us to be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Now, as it relates to evangelism, godly wisdom helps us to know what to say or not to say, helps us to know what to do or not do. Sadly, many Christians say and do things that push people further away from Jesus. And they do so by speaking without thinking and by acting without considering whether what they're doing is helpful or hurtful. For instance, I remember back in college, I was going to our Baptist Student Union one night, and there's a speaker I'll never forget for all the wrong reasons. I can't remember his name, and I can't remember what he spoke about. All I remember is that at some point during his message, he motioned to this trunk that he brought with him, which is already kind of a red flag, and he called two other students, friends of mine, up to open the trunk. And inside the trunk was a straitjacket. And they got the straitjacket out, and he had them put it on him. And I mean, it was a legit straitjacket. I'm really concerned about where he found this from on the internet or other places too. But he had his arms in the sleeves, all tied up, chains and everything, as tight as they could get it. And then, just because I never know how to say no, he motioned to me to come up, which I knew was a mistake. But he motioned me to come up, and there in the trunk was also, again, I don't know why, but a hardcover Dr. Seuss book. And he had me come up, and again, I don't remember why, he had me start hitting him with the Dr. Seuss book, like on the back. All the while, he's thrashing about in his straitjacket for about 2 minutes solid, and then he comes out of it like he's Superman. I'm sure that he meant well. I'm sure that he thought long and hard about the message he wanted to share that night. But at the end of the night, nobody remembered what that message was. and no one walked away having grown closer to Jesus. Friends, if we want to make the most of every opportunity, we've got to think about what we're going to say, what we're going to do, and whether those things are going to lead people closer to Jesus or push them further away. As Paul reminds us in verse 6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Are your conversations full of grace? Are they seasoned with salt? Are you making the most of every opportunity? I hope you are, and I hope you will. Because we're called to be more than just nice people who do good things. By faith, all of us, I'm talking men, women, and children alike, we have been called into a royal priesthood, as we hear in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. As we wrap things up, let's be grateful for our great commission. And let's do everything we can to support one another as we seek the spiritual welfare of our community. After all, what we found in Jesus Christ is too great to keep to ourselves. It needs to be shared. It needs to be lived out. And the great thing about it is that in order to do it, you don't have to be perfect. And you don't have to save everybody. But do what you can to love the people that God's placed in your path and make the most of every opportunity to tell them what Jesus means to you. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus and how he came to us where we are and met our needs. God, we're so grateful for the transformative power of your amazing love in our lives and the hope, peace, and comfort that comes through knowing that you are with us, not only in this life, but beyond it as well. God, while it's hard to live our lives in this world, and while it's hard to live out and share our faith with others, God, give us the courage, give us the strength, give us the assurance that you are with us, that you are providing us with the words to speak and the actions to perform that others will come to appreciate and that will help them better understand who you are, what you've done, and what you're calling them to. Thank you, Lord, for this and so much more. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.